Can you hear me?
All right. Anyway, before we start, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a loving and compassionate congregation. Everybody that I've talked to that is new has come and in through these doors has been blessed. So thank you.
No, I'm not taking your microphone. Yesterday, I said this sermon that we're doing is kind of like I've gone to the kitchen and I picked up a plate of food and I'm serving you a plate of food. And I provide the cutlery and the napkin and the plate, and the Lord provides the rest. So I just kind of want to pray. Lord, I pray today that it would be your spiritual food that feeds us, that we would hear from your heart today, and we would be strengthened in our spirits to do the work of God and to become more like Jesus. And so we give you this time. We give you our words. We give you our cutlery. And we say, God, make it what you want it to be today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a heads up, it's going to seem a little bit disjointed at first, and then it will make sense. So to start, what did the lobster say to the crab when he wouldn't share his food?
Well, Jude, let me think about that. I don't know. What did he say?
Anybody know?
Don't be so crabby.
No, don't be so shellfish. You got it, right? And so with saying that, we're going to have a little biology lesson to start it. We're going to watch a time-lapse video of a crab molting. Okay? There he is. Stand back. So he's pushing up on the left-hand side. He's coming out of that shell. Stuck. Ah! There. He's come away from his shell. So a few facts about the molting process. It's the sloughing off of the outer layer so a replacement can form. That's really necessary when the things inside grow bigger. If the outer layer is not shed, the inner organs get squished and they don't function properly. The organism itself will get sick and will die. It doesn't seem to be a very comfortable process. If you think of lizards, for example, they rub their heads against sharp, hard surfaces until that stretched skin splits and then the animal slithers out. Animals are very vulnerable to attacks at the time that they molt. Like that thing that came out of the shell protected it, and the guts of that animal, so to speak, are really soft and vulnerable. Arthropods, they're the ones that have those shells, right? They shed their shells or their exoskeletons, and they are exposed, they're weak, they're unprotected, and they are wrong species, of course, but they're like sitting ducks. In addition, the new replaced shell, so when that thing develops its new shell, it's really soft for a time, and so it's very vulnerable for a certain section of time. And after the molting is complete, the animals are larger and stronger, and they are more able for bigger tasks. So in slide 2, we titled our sermon, The Spiritual Molt. And so what happens to animals that molt tend to happen to us in our own Christian walk. As an aside, molting is kind of like those Russian dolls, right? You take off the outer one, and there's a one inside, and there's one inside, and there's one inside. And as each layer is removed, it's like the doll inside is smaller. And but there are subtle differences. Like the design is different, and the inside doll is smaller. And so with each one removal, we get closer to the hidden treasure that's inside those dolls. And I think of John the Baptist's words that said, "He must increase and I must decrease." So in my story, one of my stories, when I first got saved, my very first shell was really easy to remove. I could not swear, particularly to take the Lord's name in vain anymore, like almost overnight. I couldn't drink anymore, and I couldn't smoke dope anymore. Just bang, that shell was gone. And as I grew as a Christian, those layers got peeled off, kind of like that Russian doll. They just got peeled off over and over and over again. And I can tell you right now that some took a lot longer to come off than other ones did. But a lot changed. Even though I looked like the same person, like that inner doll looks like the same outer doll, I looked like the same person, but I just found myself pulling away from things like put down humor, for example, and I found myself just being more sincere, more caring, and more encouraging, like maybe that was the inner treasure. Anyway, there are a number of parallels between animals that molt and ourselves as we molt, so to speak, that are worth investigating.
Could we do slide 3?
He's up there.
It's up there. I'm looking up there. Anyway, what is the Lord saying to his people about the molting process? So what's he saying to you? Number one, outer skins need to be shed for growth and maturity to take place. This might refer to shedding relationships that are stagnant or one-sided, or letting go of unproductive habits, ways of thinking, and expectations. Two, God must remove the dried out old things so the work he's doing in us won't be stifled or choked out. Clinging to the old only makes us sickly and unfruitful. It's fine for us to say this, but what does the word say? Slide 4, please. Slide 4 is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new is come. This is good definition for molting. Think about it. Like Judy said, she changed right away. Not completely. Just some things disappeared, and she became more, I don't know.
Nicer.
Nicer, I think. Anyway, number 3. Losing the outer layer is often a painful process. For example, snake skins, for example, don't come away unless the animal rubs against a sharp, rough surface, right? We too experience pain when that which is comfortable, familiar, is peeled away. What does that feel like? You're out of your comfort zone. For our health and growth, though, we must let the Lord remove that old skin. If we are willing to undergo the process, the Lord will prepare us for greater work, as Judy's already mentioned. When I was first married, and here we go, I'm going to get nailed. I had a passion. I taught, but I had a passion, which wasn't teaching. It was hunting. Every hour spare time I had, I wanted to get out into the bush. So I would work all week hard, and then on the weekends, what would I do? I went hunting with whomever I could con to go with me. But anyway, it was my focus, right? That was my focus. But things were starting to suffer. My spiritual growth was slowing. My relationships at home were starting to get strained. Sorry, dear. And I heard that little voice saying, I have to give it up. I have to put it in its rightful place. My spiritual growth was more important. My family, my kids, my wife, my brothers and sisters were more important, not to mention the people in my life that were lost. Anyway, it was hard to let go, but in the end, it was well worth it. Relationships with the Lord improved. Relationship with my wife improved. My kids benefited by it, but I'm not sure if they've expressed it yet, although they're sitting right back there. And he led me into more ministry opportunities as well, which is really what he had built me for. Now let's look at the Apostle Paul for a minute. Initially, he had a pretty tough time of it. He had a hard, thick shell. He had been indoctrinated and taught against the things of the Lord, which he thought were the way to go. And he persecuted those who believed in Jesus. Now, his molt was significant, but it was ongoing. It went in stages. And just for example, let's look at, where is it here? Okay, look at the pain and trials he endured while he molted. Here's a list of his hardships from 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 28. And that's the next slide. Paul received 39 lashes 5 times in his journeys. That would make one molt, or want to molt. And then, let's see, what came next?
Shipwrecked.
He was shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten with rods 3 times. Once he was stoned and left for dead. Can you imagine? Pretty tough stuff. He was in danger from people of every description, from robbers to Jews to whomever. He endured hardships such as sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, and exposure to the cold. Paul was molting during this time. He went through many different molts. Sometimes it was painful. Paul's molting process must have peeled away a lot of his old nature. Not only did it cause fruit and anointing to grow in his life, but God was able to use him mightily afterwards. So out of all that suffering, out of that molting, Paul was equipped for ministry. And the same thing applies to us today as believers. We need to mold. We cannot stay the same, even if it means some painful experiences. Back to the list. Number 4. Vulnerability accompanies the process. As you saw, Mr. Crab, he became vulnerable. If there was some predator around, he was dessert. Anyway, vulnerability is part of the process. Many for a time will retreat or isolate. And that's usually for the sake of self-preservation. We've been hurt or we're being hurt. We tend to self-isolate or retreat and preserve ourselves. This is reasonable as long as the withdrawal is not permanent. I think you can probably all think of a case where someone was hurt and backed away to recover, but never came back. That's not God's plan. God's plan is just the opposite. This is reasonable for as long as the withdrawal is not permanent. We all need time to heal as God builds our new covering, right? So we shed the old one, he's building a new one. Remember, you aren't alone during this time. He is with you always. And others have gone through similar processes, similar molds as you, and they should become a resource for you. You should hear their testimony of challenges and the victory that they've had through Jesus Christ. Community is very important during this time, since others provide encouragement and resources to help in our trial and time of need. Your testimony of getting through trials is valuable in the hands of God.
I have one.
Oh, yeah. Just one?
No, because I've been through so many molds. years back, I applied for a job, and in the city of Kamloops, if you are equally qualified, the person with the most seniority gets the job. Well, that was me. But my boss decided that she wanted to give the job to her friend.
Now, just as an aside, her boss was also her friend.
Yeah. I had actually led this girl to the Lord, too. Anyways, it became very strained between us, because on her court was she wanted to, you know, help her friend. And on my court, I had the collective agreement. Anyways, things became very strained. And that was fine. Things were kind of awkward at work. I was out camping one weekend, and I knew I was going to meet with her on Monday. And on the way back from this camping trip, you know how sometimes the Lord speaks to you, and there could be noise everywhere, but he speaks right inside you. Well, I had one of those moments, and it was like an instantaneous mold. And he showed me. He spoke to me about the motives of my heart and the presentation, right? I was being absolutely bullheaded in pushing my point. And I was destroying a relationship, and that hurt him more than anything, was how I was going about it. Yeah, I could have been right. So what? I was destroying a relationship. And there I was in the back seat of the car, totally molted, right out of my shell. I got ripped out, and here I was exposed to this rotten heart. And all I could do the next day when I met her is I was so convicted by what he spoke to me and showed me about my life. All I could do was say, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Well, that had a profound effect on her. It just cemented that relationship. It just restored it. And I didn't give two hoots about the job. I don't even remember now if I ever got that job. But it didn't matter. God loves to restore. Amen. And he is more interested in how we love one another than getting what we deserve, right? Anyways, our nature, the reason why God causes us to molt is because our nature is so contrary to his spirit. He needs to remove such things in us as selfishness, greed, arrogance, hidden sin, so that his spirit is able to shine through. We will never truly be able to love or to forgive or be merciful or be kind unless our molting experiences do in us what they need to do in us. It is so true what John the Baptist said, that I do have to decrease and he must increase. Back to you.
So be aware. There's not going to be attacks during this process, right? They really hurt, since you're very defenseless, sensitive, and vulnerable. Of course, our greatest predator is the devil, the great deceiver and accuser. 1 Peter 5:8 says...
It's not on there.
Okay, you're going to have to take my word for this one. Attacks come in many forms.
Oh, your adversary, sorry. The devil. Come on,
yeah, we'll get this straight. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Attacks come in many forms. It can be somebody slandering your good name. It could be somebody suggesting that you're ashamed for some reason or other. It could be, what else would be in there?
Right there.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like that one. You could feel guilty for something, such as Judy experienced with that job situation. And people could begin to spread lies about you. That's a nasty one. It can take you down really fast. And I have a story about that. We have an extended family member who was very opinionated and really didn't like the thought of Christianity at all. So it was every time we got together for whatever reason, it was difficult is what it was. Because she, you know, we would try to express, you know, what God was doing in our lives, and she would come back with criticism and put downs and all kinds of nasty stuff. It was so bad that I wanted to retreat. I didn't want to get anywhere near her for quite some time. But then, as God usually does, he spoke to my heart. He said, "Don't preach. Just love her." So I softened, and I started to invest myself in finding out more about her and her family and blessing her kids and those kinds of things. And as I softened, she softened. So there's a rule, there's something there to take note of. When God asks you to soften, you need to expect great things, because he's sending you into ministry. He's sending you into a situation where he wants to do some work. Anyway, I'm getting way off track. We won her over. It was great. We would go for dinner, or we could visit, or we could even, she even let us take her kids for a while, like stay over and hang out. Anyway, an unfortunate event happened in their family. Her brother suddenly passed away in Edmonton, and this was at late December. And the Lord spoke to both of us, actually, and said, "You need to go to that funeral." We hadn't been invited. We weren't expected to go, but we went. And I'll tell you something, that one act of love was a great demonstration of God's love. From that moment on, our relationship changed. It had changed somewhat before, but now it was real. We had love for each other. It was well worth doing. Okay, I think we're on number 6, if I remember correctly. Energy is needed for molting. Therefore, it is important to feed on the Word, know God's Word, walk in it, make it part of your heart. Seek the Lord. Listen for his voice. You've heard us talk of hearing his voice when he downloads something that he wants you to do. So listen carefully for his voice and direction. Soak in his presence. Don't shy away from worship. Because in worship, you draw close to God and he draws close to you. That's worship. She's changed the page? No. Soak in his presence. That happens in worship. It also happens when you sit down and read his word and all of a sudden something jumps out of the page and, yeah, he's there and you're changing. Stay close to one another. Don't separate when you're going through a molt. Take your partner in your arm and say, "Help me. I'm going through a tough time. I need you." Don't be embarrassed.
So how will you know it's time for a spiritual molt? So you might need to molt if your life is predictable, if it's comfortable, maybe even boring, if you're just satisfied the way things are going. You might need to molt if you think you have it all together. You got everything figured out, especially if people would just do it your way. You might need to molt if you feel restless, unfulfilled, spiritually dry, or dead inside. Oh, just as an aside, I made this observation during COVID that there was this great church shuffle that occurred. And I often wonder from this, now looking back at it, that if people, did the migrants molt and become more like Jesus in the shuffle? Or did they just simply cart their old marred shell to the new locations? Like, I think that would be a pastor's nightmare. By the way, we, you know, just as an aside, we definitely molted when we came here 2 years ago. And I just want to thank you for welcoming us. And thank you for helping us to, like, get through our difficult time. We felt accepted, valued, and loved by you. And we sensed the presence of God in this place. So we knew we were safe, and we knew we were protected, and we knew we were loved. So thank you. Back to my list. You might need to molt if you're looking at pleasures and things to fill that emptiness inside. You might need to molt if you're not growing or you're not allowing yourself to be challenged to grow deeper. You will need to molt if you are hanging on to an offense or two. You might need to molt if you have the same old behaviors and the same old thinking with the same bad results over and over. You probably will need to molt if you have little control over your anger, your lust, your spending, and what comes out of your mouth. You may need to molt if you have conflict, if your life is full of conflict, and you just seem to be driving people away. You may need to molt if your heart is hard, or you resist the Lord, or you've just kind of checked out, talking to some teens maybe. You may need to molt if you're unwilling to listen or surrender to the Lord, or you're just outright rebellious. And you may need to molt if you can't remember the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus and their final destiny. Or you may need to molt if you just know inside you need an encounter with God. The word of God makes it quite clear when you know a molt is needed. Colossians 3, 8 to 10 says, "But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator."
All right, slide 8. How do you tell if a molt is happening, or if you're in the midst of a molt? Some things to consider. A, molts are in God's timing. Mm-hmm. You can't generate the time. God will do that for you. They'll happen whenever He deems it. Molts happen throughout your walk of faith, so we slowly become more like Jesus. Some steps will be bigger, some smaller, but the direction is always towards Jesus. C, no one is exempt. As believers, we're not exempt. We have to walk that walk. We have to endure the difficult times and molt. I have a testimony, but that's too long. God will speak to us during our molt. I've probably had some of the most intimate conversations with God, Christ, when I knew it was time to molt. When I was having trouble in relationships particularly. And He showed up. He was faithful. Always faithful. So, bear in mind, God will often use other people in our lives to initiate the molts. Maybe even
your spouse, yeah.
Yeah, your spouse. You got to consider that. So it might be worthwhile to listen to them, right? It's always worthwhile to listen. Maybe they have a good point that God wants to drive home.
You know, I grew up in a really scrappy home. We were argumentative. There's five kids, and we were not afraid to challenge each other. We all had to be right, and we pushed our point down each other's throats. And that basically became my MO. So I took what I learned in the home out to my job sites and out to my social relationships. And I, you know, in my short life, I've discovered that there are a number of people just like me out there. Aren't we fun to have around? Anyway, when I got married, he's not like that. So it was new for me to spend time with a person like that, and he would challenge me. He would say, Judy, you don't always have to be right. Which was, yeah, it was like, it was a brand new concept for me. You know, and being a twin, like, we fought, we jockeyed for position of stuff like that. Anyway, he would talk, I would entertain that thought for a while, and one night I had a dream, and I was in the front of the church, worshiping the Lord, no doubt. And then I noticed I started to smell smoke, and I noticed one of the church members was in the foyer smoking. Well, something rose up in my spirit, I tell you. I was going back there, I was going to storm back there and tell her, I'm going to deal with you, lady. And as I'm walking back, guess what? His words got in my dream and said, Judy, you don't always have to be right. And it's like, oh, so, you know, at the end of that dream, I thought, you know, maybe the Lord is really trying to get to me through him. But you have one too, right?
I do. I hate to admit it, but I've always had sort of a pacifying personality. I don't know a better way to describe that. I was called a peacemaker, a people pleaser, all those kinds of things, growing up and even into my Christian walk. And that often got me into trouble because I just couldn't rescue everyone and solve everyone's problems. Couldn't do it. That part of me was hindering my growth as a Christian as well. I was doing so much in my own strength, using my own resources to try to solve all these problems. But it was really, I was getting in the way of God, in the way of what God wanted to do in that situation, in those people. God basically told me I needed to change. And my wife confirmed it. So I knew I was on the right path. And I needed to get out of his way and allow him to do what he wanted in my life and in the lives of the people around me. And after all, it's not my job to solve others' problems. It's his. That's his business. Mm-hmm. That's his expertise. If you have a problem, go to God. He will help you. I will encourage you, but I can't solve it for you. Mm-hmm. It was a humbling experience. E, if you're following the alphabetical order of the last bunch, be aware of how you feel or are impacted by those around you. Molts are often not a happy time. There likely will be pain, discomfort, persecution. Our pride will take a hit. We may flounder with a sense of identity or who we are. The pain or injustice or disappointment may drive us to tears, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. God often uses hurt, conflict with others, loss, injustice, etc., to perfect his work in us and help us to shed the old skin.
So how can you tell if a molt has been successful? So the first thing you should notice is that there's been a change. You will see things differently. The new you or the new me will reflect more of God's nature, and we'll find ourselves just wanting to please and honor the Lord in what we do. There should be more fruit evident, like maybe more patience, more peace, more kindness. You'll find your judgmental and critical side sort of take a back seat. You become less selfish. and willing to serve or bless or give to others. And the names of those that we have forgiven, which were written in our last shell, are not carried forward to the shell we have. And there are two things to consider for a successful molt. We may feel like that crab with his foot stuck in the shell. Part of us wants to hang on to the old things. We want to go back to the known, the comfortable ways of behaving. And it's a struggle to break through or to break free. But I just want to encourage you to persevere. It's worth it in the end. The second thing is that incrustations, and those are animals that have the shells, the muscles actually attach to the inside of the shell so that the legs have leverage and they can actually move the organism forward. And those attachments actually have to dissolve or break free under the shell for a successful molt to occur. And many times our hearts are attached to things in our shells that are marred by fleshly, selfish things, desires. But if we are willing, God can replace those old traits and those old attachments with the things of the Spirit. For example, peace instead of anger, compassion for indifference, humility instead of arrogance, kindness instead of selfishness, patience for frustration, and love will cover it all.
Yeah. Love is a powerful component of the process. Love is the most important component of the strongest shell ever made. It's love that makes a strong shell, a healthy shell, one that gives you room to grow. Nothing can stand against this love that's now in your life, both now and into the future. Slide 10.
It's already up there.
Oh, look at that. You all know 1 Corinthians 13, 48. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends or fails. So on the other side of the molt, you've gone through the tough stuff. We should be stronger, right? Number one. Two, we'd be better equipped for ministry and responsibility. Three, be endued with power and anointing for spiritual works. Have greater love, compassion, and understanding. Be changed more into his likeness. Now, I just want to depart for a second here. As difficult as a molt is to endure, think of a rose. Very beautiful flower. Has a wonderful scent. But that scent is minimal until it's crushed. Then it releases its full scent. And I want to read to you Psalm 23, which most of you probably have memorized. It's, well, it has the fragrance of a crushed rose. A crushed rose releases that intense fragrance. If you listen to the words of Psalm 23, you can sense the deep transformational work God did in David's life. So he was able to pen these words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I think we all realize that we are not where we should be in the Lord, and that God has much more for us. if we would simply be willing to surrender to that whole molting process. And so I wonder if the worship team can come back and the prayer team can come up. If you feel that you're stuck in your old shell and you need to molt, or if you are in the middle of a molt and it's painful, or you've just molted and you're still pretty tender, or you need prayer for anything else, there's prayer support here. Your family's here, and be surrounded by their love.